This is Red Spotlight number 97. I'm Alexis Soto, filling in for Kyle Lira, and I am joined by Peter Martinez. And
hi.
Before we get to today's show, we have a special announcement. From now on, when we do the After Darks, we will actually be broadcasting live from the YouTube channel on Red Spotlight Entertainment. So all you gotta do is be subscribed to Red Spotlight Entertainment on YouTube. And whenever we go see a movie, which is usually on Thursday nights, like tonight we went to go see Annihilation. So all you have to do is be subscribed to Red Spotlight on YouTube, and you will get a notification about when we are live for a brand new review. From now on, all the After Darks will be broadcast live on Red Spotlight YouTube, to reiterate. So today we're going to go over some quick news with Joss Whedon in DC, and then we're going to get into Annihilation with spoilers, right, Peter? Why the fuck not? All right, this is Red Spotlight number 96, Peter's Annihilation. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. I had just gotten off the phone with Kyle Lira, and he has agreed to endorse our idea of making it official that the Red Spotlight After Darks will now be broadcast on YouTube live.
Oh,
it
God.
Is about time we do live videos. And I have to say, all the credit or blame, whoever you want to put it, goes to Peter Martinez. I think he had a great idea here. And
should
he
I even try defending myself 100%. Since you're going to edit this?
100%.
Okay.
You can defend yourself. I don't edit out these parts.
Okay.
I don't edit anything out unless... the only thing I ever edit out is when you tell me that, oh, you can't say that.
Because you can't say that. Go ahead.
I'm done.
What's the first topic then?
Yeah, okay. Well, we're going to get to our review of Annihilation in a bit, but we got to address some... Okay, well, this is the DC movie news report of the week, because we are so hell-bent on having one every week for whatever reason. Not because we want to, but, I mean, things just keep getting out. And I kind of feel, Peter, that it's been this way, like, consistently for over a year now, right? Like, I feel like ever since January of 2017, it's just been this nonstop roller coaster. And it never ends.
It's unlike anything other than I've ever seen as far as Hollywood movie making news goes.
And I mean, this week was no exception, because there were a couple of things that happened this week. So first, they hired a new VP, basically, of DC Films. She is of Asian American descent. So that's a plus, I guess, for diversity. But, that goes along with the other guy whose name is escaping me that they hired to be the new head of DC Films a month ago. And it was so funny, because it was like a press release or something that said early on in the week that, among the top priorities at, Warner Brothers in DC is Batgirl. And to kind of reiterate, when that movie was announced, Peter and I were on the same page where it's like, well, it's another one of these movies that doesn't need to exist. But I do recall Peter being much more positive, because it is Joss Whedon. He was going to write and direct it. He does really good stuff when it comes to female-led oriented material. And, I mean, if it's a good movie, it's a good movie, is what Peter always says. Well... Here we are at the end of February, and before we even get a chance to see any of that, it was announced that the very same Batgirl that was a top priority for DC and Warner Brothers has left the project. Some speculate fired, although there isn't anything definitive to suggest that. But Joss Whedon has dropped out, stepped aside, and claiming, among other things, that there just wasn't a story. Which I think really says a lot about so many people, but yes, it seems as if though Batgirl is plowing through ahead. Maybe, I mean, I assume
it's gonna get made. It's gonna get made. You know why?
Right?
Do you want to know why it's gonna get made?
Because of Wonder Woman
and Black Panther.
And because of Wonder Woman.
And
go ahead, Peter.
Black Panther. I don't know if this is, you would necessarily say this is mutual. I do have a feeling that he got fired from it. But I also feel like he kind of didn't give a shit and he hated working with them after Justice League. And his whole thing of like, I couldn't come up with a story. Really? Really? I don't know if I really believe that. I kind of feel that's just a bunch of baloney.
Let's take this step by step, right? So if we're going to go down that rabbit hole and he says that there just wasn't a story, what does it say about the people that hired him without there being at least a story or a treatment or anything resembling something about this movie?
Hey,
because I think
they hired Rian Johnson for a Star Wars trilogy, and he has no idea what that's going to be about.
But this isn't the same situation, though. We're talking about a cinematic universe, right? Like with Star Wars, especially with the saga films, they're pretty like it's just three movies.
I remember you arguing that that's a cinematic universe, and I said no. Remember?
Okay,
we had a whole thing.
Okay.
We'll move on.
You and I have a different... No. We have a different definition of a cinematic universe because you think that when I called it a cinematic universe, that it was the exact same thing that Marvel and DC did and with the Dark Universe. Or when I meant a cinematic universe, I just meant... I was basically trying to call it a franchise. So it was a wrong term, basically. And if I were to use the word cinematic universe, maybe I was referencing in to bring along Rebels and Clone Wars and that kind of stuff too.
I accept
it's a,
your
it's a
defeat.
Cohesive piece. What?
I accept your defeat.
Go on, Peter.
Okay, point being, I can already tell you the writing's on the wall. I think they really pulled the trigger after the success of Black Panther. Because they saw the politics game just triumph for Wonder Woman and Black Panther. And I'm not even saying that's a bad thing, you know? This is kind of the effect that we assumed what would happen with films like this, especially
and
when they're
it did
successful.
Happen.
So yeah, they're like, oh, we need a woman director to come in to make a very, I don't want to say woman film, but like very,
but I would, but why didn't that click? Film. Why didn't that click immediately after the success of Wonder Woman over, I mean, about a year ago?
Because once can be a fluke, but twice is a trend. And so I think they're like, okay, we see that it's financially viable to, I guess, tell minority stories with minorities leading those stories, you know? The same with the...
They do realize if they left them alone, they would have probably gotten a good movie, right? Does it occur to anybody? Is it lost on anybody that could have been a possibility?
Again, they follow trends.
They're reactionary.
They really,
you mean
they're very reactionary.
They're reactionary.
Yeah.
They're reactionary. And here we are again. Oh, my. Here we are again. I mean, it's. It's not going to work every single time, I think. And also, it's like Batgirl. The future of your cinematic universe rests on Batgirl. There's not even a Batman anymore in your universe. We've been saying for a long time the collapse. I mean, the DCEU is not a universe anymore.
Well, do we even know? Do we even know that this Batgirl will be connected to the DCEU?
And therein lies the other problem. I mean, it didn't even occur to me that it wasn't going to be involved. But at this point, it could be a freaking Elseverse movie.
Yeah.
Because, like, wasn't, like, Matt Reeves as Batman intended? I mean, everybody assumed, right, it was going to be Ben Affleck in the DCU, and now apparently it's fucking Elseverse.
I mean, they've been real quiet on that movie, too, so...
But they've been quiet on a whole bunch of things, and I'm just like,
but look, I mean, look at the things they're streamlining. They're streamlining the Batgirl film, even though they don't have a director. And like I said, I do think it has to do with politics. Again, not necessarily bad. That's kind of what's bad is just the reactionary aspect of it, not truly understanding.
But they have a bigger problem, though. They don't have enough good movies.
No, of course not. But I mean, what scares me is they're really. It seems that there's three films that they are rushing to production, which is Batgirl,
and we're talking about rushing. Director.
Yeah, rushing.
Yeah, coming out next year, I think, right?
Yes.
Flash. No director, no script.
Nothing. Well, actually, maybe it's a year after. I don't know. I don't care. Flash, which I guess is still Flashpoint. And then the 1980s Joker movie, which, dear God, is actually going to be a thing.
But wait, hold up. There are a couple of things to add to that. Next year is 2019, right?
Yes.
Okay, so right now, Aquaman is already finished shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And as of this moment, there's no movie being filmed right now. Shazam is going into production, but there's no... It's not being shot at the moment, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And Shazam is supposed to come out next year.
Oh, yeah. Shazam as well. But, I mean...
Wonder Woman is supposed to come out. Wonder Woman 2 comes out next year. Am I correct?
I have no clue. I don't know when
anything... It said... Yeah, it was 2019.
Okay. Well, the movies you're talking about are, like, movies that I already consider in production.
Okay.
The three that I'm talking about are ones that they haven't even... Those are the ones that they're going to move on after. Those are their priorities.
What about Suicide Squad 2? They've been really adamant about that one.
That's true, but I don't see much movement on it. But again, what should scare you is we're hearing about all these movies and we're hearing nothing about Matt Reeves' Batman movie. Why?
Yeah, but you said yourself that at this point it didn't even matter, right? You weren't even looking forward to that one anymore after the whole Elseverse thing.
A good movie is a good movie, and I think Matt Reeves would make a great Batman film. That's the only one where I'm like, I really want to see that, or have any interest. All the other ones, I don't really care.
Well, let's talk about the three films you brought up, right? So, Batgirl, no director, no script. The Flash, there is still no director. No. There was,
or are they just the writers?
No. Yeah, they're writing and directing, but it's not officially closed yet. They're still deep in negotiations. It's not a done thing, which means this can still go the other way around. Like it happened, it keeps happening from them repeatedly. So, and that's due to come out, I would say, 2022. I mean, 2020 as well, not 2022.
No, I might say 2022.
And then there is, what did you say, the Joker movie?
The 80s Joker movie. Remember, which, that was supposed to start shooting, apparently, soon.
Did they get a director yet or no? Yeah, it's Todd Phillips directing it, right? That was they have Todd Phillips directing the Joker movie. Right?
Yes.
They have Todd Phillips directing it, but they're trying to get Joaquin Phoenix. Okay, so if we're looking at those three movies, God help us. I mean, right? Like, it feels like at this point they're just picking the wrong things. Like, Maybe I can see Batgirl, but I still don't care. Flashpoint, I don't care. Like, if it's going to be, the again, like, the culmination of these universes. And the other bit of news is apparently they're going to include Killer Frost and
I don't care.
These villains, I don't know. And
they've ruined the best villains they have. Why would I give a shit about their C list or D list? Something like a Batgirl film. I actually do think there is some things you could do to make a fun and interesting Batgirl film. But again, Batgirl to me only works because there's a Batman. You know?
Like Venom and Spider-Man.
Yeah. And I'm not saying she can't have her own movie, but that's like some Phase 4 or 5 type shit. Not whatever the WB's in right now, chaos phase.
And that's that's just the problem. Is if you notice the three projects that we talked about, Flashpoint, Batgirl, and the Elseverse Joker movie. Mm-hmm. None of those movies have anything in common. There's like no connection to any of those movies. They're just properties splattered against the wall, and we'll see what the fuck happens.
If I can make a prediction, they're going to turn Batgirl into a teen comedy type film.
But what did we already forget about Gotham City Sirens?
Well, it's a fucking joke.
Well, I mean, go down the list. So the Gotham City Sirens, I think they had multiple Harley Quinn movies in production, including Harley versus the Joker. Harley Quinn versus the Joker.
That's necessary.
Including Suicide Squad 2. I think at one point they talked about Deadshot. We know Cyborg is gone. Justice League 2 is gone. Man of Steel is never going to happen. That sequel never happened. Ben Affleck is gone, so I guess there's no more Batman. There's no more talk of the Batman Matt Reeves thing, so I guess that can be jettisoned off into the sunset as well. Green Lantern Corps, I mean, yeah, good luck with that. Really, especially if it still has David S. Goyer coming back, which, I mean, again, why even bother if it has David S. Goyer and Green Lantern? You think you would learn the first time. I had more. Oh, also, who's not looking forward to Lobo, directed by Michael Bay?
That's a weird one. But, again, reactionary. They want their own version of Deadpool. I will say it's pretty impressive. Just how disappointing.
What's impressive?
How disappointing they can become. Because every time I'm like, well, I mean, this is kind of it for them. They find new, interesting ways to fuck it up. I mean, points for creativity.
Like the Trump presidency?
Yeah, I guess there's some similarities there. The whole point they were making a Batgirl film was because what's his name wanted to make one, Joss Whedon.
Joss Whedon.
So then you fire him, and apparently he's just like, well, I don't know, I just couldn't fucking think of anything. Like, really, really. Okay.
I also think Joss just wanted to get the fuck out of there. I think he had a horrible time with Justice League.
Yeah, I think you can tell too. I honestly don't know why they still try and give excuses for why directors get shuffled off. They should just release a press release. Yeah, they're off the film. You know the drill. Don't ask us further questions. I just feel like, okay, all right, on to the next.
You said, though, that today, this was the worst one in a while, the worst news in a while.
Yeah.
For them. And why do you feel that way?
Because it really tells me that they just don't have anything. Like,
they There's no plan. There never was. Can we just get that myth out of the way with?
No. I'm not pretending that they ever had a plan. Of course they never had one.
Yeah. But even now it's more like evident that there's just like...
They have a few tiny gold chips at the bottom of their giant barrel. You know, one of them is Matt Reeves. You know, you have Joss Whedon in there. And Patty Jenkins. If any of them left and just said, oh, creative differences, or oh, this or that, it's like, really, one of the small, tiny, good things that you had, the small, talented things, and you managed to mess that up or throw it away.
Well, can I just say, why? But like, I mean, remember when Ben Affleck was directing the Batman?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like that. If they didn't Ben Affleck's Batman movie would be coming out like in a month or two. I honestly think if they had made like good films and genuinely just like not had been a shitty studio, we might have be seen the Ben Affleck directed Batman film around now. But, you know.
Is it just me or do you get the impression, and you know, because it hasn't been brought up in quite some time, that any day now they're going to announce Matt Reeves leaving?
Oh, I think it's going to happen.
You see it too, right? Like, yeah. You just smell it.
Because just there's zero word on it. And it's been a while since they've announced that he's going to direct the film. You would think by now we would see some movement on the film being made. I mean, really?
But I mean, Peter, they got like 20-plus movie in production or in development hell, I guess we should say, not production.
I know, but of all the films... Come on, everyone knows if you're running a movie studio, this is the movie that you greenlight and fast track.
Maybe Warner Brothers just wants to move away from the tentpole Justice League characters because of how pathetic they perform together as a group.
So they just want to be the CW shows?
If they can reach that level of quality, let's get there first. That's the thing, you know? And... it's painful to read this news now because it's like it's a never ending cycle of misery and shit, and I can only like
remember it's bad. When you used to get angry at listening to these headlines, I can't get that anymore. It's just like, oh
yeah,
yeah,
oh. You just get so numb because. Yeah, it just happens. And I was going to say, just as another added statistic. So of the first five films in the DCEU, every single director except for Patty Jenkins has been fired or quit.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, you have Zack Snyder for, I mean, three. It's only but
two directors.
Two. Is it not? Well, I mean, if you count Whedon...
Oh, okay. You can count them.
And if you count David Ayer and Zack Snyder, and that's three. Yeah. And I guess we can count Geoff Johns because he's no longer involved, right?
Yeah, he had a slight promotion / demotion, however you want to.
He's not doing movies anymore, right?
I don't think he did movies before anyways, so.
Yeah. I also want, before we move on, I don't know, I know you've been like, hold on, this hair in my, I don't know if you've been watching John Schnepp on Collider lately, but, like, he really has been, like, hammering Warner Brothers in DC as much as you and I usually do. Oh, really? Yeah, he's been saying that he's only seen Justice League one time, and he has not bothered to go back and see it. He acknowledges that he got caught up in the hype and gave it an overly positive review, but he has no urge or desire to ever see it again or even purchase it. That it is just... it, and it's weird. because, well, not weird, but it's like, damn, he's actually has given like several rants, that are pretty entertaining. I would recommend you watching them.
Well, his life is comic books, and when you see a studio so clearly F up, when they have gold, just hand it to them.
To just so keep, I think his favorite word to call them are morons. He keeps calling them morons.
It is. You have to be like genuinely stupid to mess up something so easy as the Justice League.
And Schnepp just kept saying, just copy Marvel. At this point, just do it.
I mean, when you've been proven to be this inept, just, hey.
No, but I mean, it seems like, just to cap it off, they're doing the exact same thing again and again and again. And is that not the definition of insanity?
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, no one's coming to their movies anymore because of that.
That's why I'm kind of like interested to see how these are going to do. You know, let's say Aquaman is good and it puts things back up. I don't know. I feel like people have caught on. If Justice League didn't do what it needed to, I mean, for Justice League to perform the way that it did.
I also think people are dumb.
Yeah.
We've been over this. As long as they put someone in a costume and put him in front of a screen, then that's over half the battle for a lot of people right there. That's all they really need.
Yeah. I also saw a comment said somewhere, I think it was Mark Riley, that, you know, the amazing thing about the DC Elseverse thing is that comic fans can go into these movies without having their own pre-existing connection or their own, like, fantasy thing going into it. And I just kept thinking, that's every comic book movie. It doesn't matter what it is. People go into these movies already having a connection and an established history with the character, and they bring that with them, and they use that to analyze the film.
Yeah, that's and my biggest issue with a lot of films is people don't look at them as films; they look at them as extensions of other things that have nothing to do with the film. That's a different thing, though. That's a different discussion.
Yeah. Okay, let's do The Annihilation, a movie I don't think anyone's going to go see this weekend. But
there was like five other people in my theater.
Really? I had a full theater.
Oh, really?
Okay. But it was one of the smaller theaters, though. Like, don't get carried away. It was like maybe 40 people?
Shame on all of you. Shame. Who do not go and see this film. Shame.
All right, so Annihilation, it comes out this week, directed by Alex Garland, who is known for Ex Machina, a movie that I think everyone on Red Spotlight adores.
Yeah. It's really good. Simple,
but it's really, good. Really good. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we're going to go into the review of the film. Just a couple more stats. I mean, we mentioned it before previously when Paramount sold the rights to Netflix for the international stage, because this movie is not going to be released internationally. It'll only be in America and...
I think America, Canada, and China are the only places.
North America. They're still getting China?
I think. I could be wrong. Or was it Australia? I don't know.
It's one of those. Mm-hmm. Anyway, basically, this is a science fiction movie. It stars Natalie Portman and Oscar Isaac and Jennifer Jason Leigh. I think Tessa Thompson was in this as well.
Yeah.
And it's the story about this meteor. Is this spoilery?
No. It hits
a meteor.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, it crashes into the earth, and it forms this environment, this shimmer, as they call it, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And Natalie Portman leads a unit. They go in to investigate. Things happen. Scary shit happens. People die.
Well, yeah. Now you're spoiling.
People die, though. I mean, you got that from the trailer.
Yeah.
Okay, people may or may not die. People may or may not die.
I mean, it's too late, but okay. To be fair, the movie spoils that in like the first 2 minutes anyway, so they pretty much spoil who lives and who dies. What do you think of the movie?
My first impressions of the movie that it is excellent. Mm-hmm. It is an excellent made movie. I think Alex Garland continues to be one of the up and coming rising stars of the film industry, and with the films that he's done, I think Ex Machina was really good, and I think he takes a lot of the inspiration behind that into whatever the hell this is. I thought he got great performances out of all the actors. The production design was beautiful. The story, the direction was just so brilliantly handled. There were certainly moments of suspense. There's moments of terror. And then I love mysteries, mystery-led movies like this. Also, I think it has, honestly, amazing visual effects and amazing sound design. And I think, especially at the end of the movie, toward the end, there are things that happen that I think are worth seeing in a movie theater. So I think it was a really unique and interesting experience that isn't really like anything else you'll see in a movie this year.
I loved this film. I really did.
I had no idea you had the capacity to love a movie.
I do.
It's been some time.
It's been a while. I don't think it's perfect. There are certain issues.
Is any movie perfect?
No movie's perfect, but there are, I think, real issues. One of which, I'll just say it right now, you see it in the trailer. It's like a cardinal sin for sci-fi films with me that I see just continue to happen that just really takes me out of the movie is why did they not wear hazmat suits when they went into the Shimmer? You saw this in Alien Isolation. You see this in a lot of sci-fi films. It's like, why do people, when they go into alien environments, not wear like protective suits, you know, like in real life the way we would do? They just kind of go in fully exposed and stuff like that. But that's one of the little
that
issues.
Probably would have made a difference.
Not to get too spoilery, it's kind of a big one, but it's also kind of a small one, I guess, the way you look at it. To me, there are certain things I think you can poke and pull apart about the film, but the things that it does right, it does unbelievably right, like masterfully. I didn't really know it was basically a horror film before I saw it.
Did you into the trailer?
I saw the trailer. I thought it was like weird sci-fi. I didn't know it was like body horror. Like, there are certain visuals that are just so strikingly beautiful, yet so entirely horrifying. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. That are so just entirely horrifying that I just am amazed. Yeah, do you want to get into it?
Yeah, go ahead.
To me, the visuals were unlike anything I've ever seen in a film. And I have seen quite a few films with quite a bit of striking visuals. This guaranteed is unlike anything ever seen in a film. Visually, it's masterful, I felt. Music and sound design, incredible. It's just this tense alien sounds that permeate throughout the entire film. It's a quiet movie, it's a slow movie, but the sounds that are there just make the hairs on your back of your neck stand up. The body horror, very Cronenberg-like, and I think a lot of people compare it to that, but it's masterfully done. And there are several scenes that I consider to be pretty terrifying, especially in the scientific ways in which they were done. Performances were really good, I felt, all across the board. Mm-hmm. The weakest maybe being... what's her name? Gina Rodriguez, I think that's her name.
Yeah.
Maybe I would probably say her. But I still think...
She wasn't bad.
No, she wasn't bad. Across the board, incredibly well done. And... also, it's a smart film. Obviously, that's what it's trying to do. Tackle some very big world ideas and some not always clear ways. And I definitely don't think this is a mainstream film. And I love that. You know, this is the film that I'm just so happy exists. Because even if you're able to find a bunch of faults with it, which thinking about it, I just really can't think of any huge ones. I think the more I let it sit, I might be able to find some. But the things, I know for a fact, the things that it did right, it just was masterfully done. Put it this way, if you think Doctor Strange is trippy, you have seen nothing, I felt. Especially in that third act.
How is Doctor Strange trippy?
There's a lot of people say it's trippy, you know, with the visuals.
Oh, the visuals. So you meant like the story or anything?
No, not the story. No, the visuals in this film, I think, are like a million miles beyond Doctor Strange, especially in that third act. And a lot of what happens... And I was just so goddamn engaged throughout the entire thing. And it was one of those movies where I just felt like it was an experience.
Yeah, it never it grabs your attention almost instantly. And it never drags and it never lets you go. That's what I really liked about this movie and what I really felt all along. I realized at a point, man, I can't stop watching.
Yeah. It's
mesmerizing. You're right.
I was reading and watching reviews, and I think I think it was what Jeremy Johns said. So there you go. I'm quoting Jeremy Johns.
Oh, you still watch that hack?
Yeah, every once in a while. I like him. He's a nice guy.
I never met Jeremy Johns.
I know, neither have I. I assume. He could be a total, I don't know, rude guy, but I doubt it.
What did the Johns say?
The Johns said, and I think it's a really good description of what's within the Shimmer. It feels like the place where like heaven and hell meet. Like it's just that, just both horrifying and beautiful at the same time.
Yeah. Because things happen. I mean, if we're going to go ahead and spoil... the things that happen? Should we go that or...
Do you want to spoil? It's up to you.
If you don't want to... No, I mean...
you know what? Fuck it. You love the movie. If spoiling it makes one more person watch it, then it's worth it.
Okay. So this stuff is for that you, happens David. Here... right. Well, Kyle... Actually, Kyle wants to see it now.
Oh, yeah. Kyle, if you're watching this before you see it, turn it off.
Also, I don't think Kyle, can I be honest? Mm-hmm. I don't think Kyle will ever listen to this podcast.
He might. He might.
I don't know if you noticed, he never listens to any of the podcasts he's not in.
Kyle, if you listen to this podcast, immediately message us deviled eggs.
Okay. The word. Well, I imagine he'll have some kind of response if he hears the opening.
Oh, well, yeah. That's true. Oh, yeah. That is very true. Screw it. Let's spoil.
All right. So what happens here? The Shimmer crashes. It has this huge barrier, right? It keeps getting bigger and bigger. And inside the Shimmer, it fucks up DNA. And it mishes and mashes it. And as you notice, as the movie goes from scene to scene, how Natalie Portman calls them, these mutations. Like, mm-hmm. these plants or these animals that look different or huge, and then they have different teeth or they have different claws, and that's because the Shimmer is it's expanding the DNA, into which everyone's DNA is basically put in a blender, and it's just this it's almost kind of like this jungle of like beautiful, horrifying creatures of all sorts. Maybe you can explain it better than I did.
The way they explained it in the film was that within the Shimmer, it wasn't just capturing like light rays and bouncing them back and radio waves. It was capturing literal DNA and bouncing it back. So, like you said, was probably a good description. It's the Shimmer is basically a giant blender, and DNA is constantly being swirled around.
And it's obviously alien that's doing this.
Yes. Yeah. Well, they tell you exactly right away, because it's like a meteor that comes from outer space and boom.
Was it Venom?
Oh my god!
You watch, if it was if anybody said Venom in the trailer, that would have given this movie so much more attention.
You know what? I just real quickly, I read I think it was a Screen Rant article, and the title was, does Annihilation have a post-credit scene?
Get out of here.
That was the title of the article. And I was like, oh my god. Like,
oh my god.
I was so annoyed. I had to click on it. And I clicked on it. And it eventually, it's a lot of bullshit. And eventually just gets to the end. It's like, oh yeah, it doesn't have one. And I had to just sit there. Why does this article exist?
Right?
Yeah. Oh my god.
Does Annihilation have a why would Annihilation why? Have who would think Annihilation? It's
damn you, Disney. You did this to us.
What Disney? What?
They trained us. Okay. I'm not blaming Disney.
I blame Marvel.
Oh, well, yeah.
Well, actually, no.
I know.
I blame people. Them. People are shit.
Yeah, people are.
Well, I mean, if you listen to the Black Panther review, they paid me quite handsomely.
Oh, yes, they did.
I'm not sure if you were aware of this, but this is 97 because mm-hmm. we did 96 mm-hmm. and I did my review of Black Panther there. So if you want to hear the positive review of Black Panther, you can go to 96, I think. Yes.
I'm Go sure ahead, Peter, Alexis, what you're saying. Alexis loved it too, or Moreno loved it too, right?
Oh, she wasn't on that.
Oh, okay.
I wish she would have been on there, but I know she loved it too. And Kyle liked it more than I thought he did. So yeah, we were having a good conversation.
He liked it. You'll know when Kyle.
You know what he liked the most, right? I was like, yeah, he was raving about Claw. You were so right.
You knew he was gonna love Claw. You just I knew it. But I loved Claw too, so I was like, I'll let this one slide. But what it does in Annihilation, the way it portrays, the way the DNA just starts fucking everything up, is just brutal and breathtaking. The two bees. Yes. That bear that has...
What did it have? I couldn't see, like, what all the things that it had on it.
Like, there was a human skull, like, absorbed into the side of the skull, and, like, the top half had fallen off. And when it, like, roared, it had the scream of their friend, because, like, as the friend was dying, like, the last parts of who she was, her brain, like, fused with the bear, and it's just terrifying.
It's haunting. And it's, especially how when it roars, and like that's the voice of your dead friend screaming in pain.
It, like, honestly, that's like the most terrifying thing I've seen in a film in a while. To just think about that, just sit back and think, like, oh my god. And just the bigger psychological and scientific questions it asks about, you know, individuality and life. It even questions the concept of what annihilation is, you know, to be broken down completely. You know, from one perspective, it's destruction, and the other, it's the formation of new life. It's a lot of big, heady concept things that, I'll be honest, I haven't really, because I just saw the film and so did you, I haven't taken the time to just sit back and think about the film.
And that, yeah, and that's what you kind of left the way, you're left thinking about, you know, about what the implications were and what exactly, you know, was the point of it all, because it's like we were watching toward the end of it. So what did the alien thing want? And she's like, I'm not sure it wanted anything. I'm not sure if it even knew what it was. Like, and that's an open question, I think, mm-hmm. really, whether or not, like, it had malicious intent or it had any intent whatsoever. And, I mean, when you get to the big reveal is that, of course, this was extraterrestrial. But it was like this, I don't even know how to describe what this figure was. Before it took the shape of Natalie Portman or a human. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. It was a sphere, some kind of artificial intelligence. I don't know what you would want to classify it as, what this thing was.
Well, what's great that I found a great technique within the film is that they show several times people who had been in the Shimmer at the beginning of the film. This is before we really see any of the Shimmer. And they question them on it. And they say a lot of, like, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Yeah. And then by the end of the film, you sort of realize, if you were to be asked those questions, like, oh, what happened to them? You would say the same thing. I don't know. You know, what did they look like? Lights and colors? I don't know. Like, it's the fact that the visuals they were able to put on screen are almost beyond description. Is just like an incredible achievement in my mind, because honestly, can you accurately describe what they were at the end before it turned into?
No, I mean, there were still a lot of questions I had. Like, okay, so, you know, in the beginning of the movie, Oscar Isaac, the husband of Natalie Portman, appears out of nowhere, saying that he just appeared, right? And, like, we're throughout the whole movie, we're thinking, like, okay, he escaped or whatever, or maybe there's something wrong there. And then when we get to the end of the movie, right, and she and Natalie Portman reaches the lighthouse, and what do we find, Peter?
The original Poe Dameron dead. He had killed himself while a copy? I say copy with a question mark.
Yeah.
Had recorded his death. And then that's where I think a lot of thought and interpretation kind of goes into it. Maybe much smarter. Which,
by the way, I didn't see that thing coming. That little twist there. I was like, what? 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 I was like, oh, shit. And so then I was like, okay, so he's dead. And like this alien copy of him is actually out on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And at that point, I was like, oh, so these things are here to, like, basically wipe out the population and walk away as a copy of themselves.
But
which
is that
wasn't what it was. No, it wasn't what it was. Yeah. That's what I thought, like, when I saw, oh, that's what they're doing. It's like, well, and then we see more of it. And I'm like, no, it's not that either. Because, like, okay, what happens is, toward the climax, I guess, Natalie Portman, I guess this artificial intelligence thing, again, I keep changing the description because it's just so hard to describe. I'm just throwing out different names.
Sentient thing.
This.
Well, I don't even know if it's sentient. Oh my god, I don't know. It's
the alien rock thing. I don't know that. Anyway, it took the shape of Natalie Portman. It took human shape, and then it reflected her, and then it was preventing her from. Well, what Natalie Portman perceives as it preventing her from leaving, although she speculates later on that perhaps it was just mirroring her because she attacked it first.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really like wishy-washy, okay, when it comes to this kind of stuff. But she manages to set the thing on fire and burn it all down. Was that what happened? Yeah, she threw a grenade. Yeah. and then the thing caught on fire, and then all of the extraterrestrial species was burned to a crisp, and the shimmer was broken through and everything. But she goes back, and in the back of your mind, you're thinking, what about that Oscar Isaac copy? What happened to that?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking the whole time.
I'm like, if it's like still around, how? Why? What does that mean? Like, and then of course the thing happens, and then she's like, you're not Kane or whatever his name was, are you? And he's like, no. And then they hug, and then there's, I think, something in his eye and something in her eye.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know. I mean, that's why I go to you on this. Maybe you have a more like enlightened version. I was like,
I have several theories and like, broad ideas, because they draw heavily on the description of cells and the way cells replicate.
Yes. By
creating an exact copy, and then you know, that turns into 2, 4, you know, and it continues to break down and break down and break down to many, many, many things. And the other lady that got turned into a light show at the end had said, like, annihilate.
By the way, what happened with that? What was the point of her going out like that?
It was pretty. I don't know.
I was like, okay, that's an interesting way to go. I mean, like, was it warranted? I don't. I mean,
so far, I only got the broad strokes of what they were going for.
Right. I think. Right.
But the whole thing is, like, she considered it annihilation because they. Almost the whole shimmer was itself a living organism that would break down DNA further and further and further and create whatever. And while she considered it annihilation, you know, another way to look at it would be life and creating the evolution of life. Well, I don't even know if I would say evolution, but
mutation.
Yeah, basically where humans themselves are so minuscule that they become the cell to an even greater life entity thing. And I thought maybe that's what they were going with like Natalie Portman and an exact creating from this DNA thing an exact copy of herself, which would then, you know, continues to break down. And at that point, you know, you have questions about individualism and, you know, if we can.
Yeah, but okay, but what exactly is meant by the end of it then? She, oh. Like, the, oh, that, where it's that like embrace.
They both have the eyes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't.
Cause she's the real Natalie Portman.
Is she?
Right? I think she is, right?
You gotta remember, she was the one telling the story. She's not what you would call a reliable narrator.
What? I that's the thing. As soon as the copy thing came up, I was like, okay, Natalie Portman's dead, and this person's gonna copy her, and then she's gonna go back, and yada yada yada. Mm-hmm. But like, I thought we were seeing the actual events of it, but now
we could have been.
But we could have been, but now it's only just now occurring to me that that could have been what the copy was narrating, and that in fact, but okay, see,
and then there was this. If whole that thing was the case, water?
Yeah, I'm not gonna touch that.
Okay,
at that point, I was like, I'm ignoring that. It means something. I'm just gonna ignore it because I can't even like I can't with water because if that was the copy of Natalie Portman, then why would she burn down the shimmer? And yeah. The rest of the like extraterrestrial stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I assumed it was like it's the real person because like she burned down the rest of, and if it was the copy, then it would have been like the rest of herself.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I just saw this. This is a movie where you're going to see like 2 hour long YouTube deconstructions of the film. I love that. I love a film that you
go ahead.
There's certainly a lot of things that you're able to understand. And even on a basic level, I think you can enjoy this film because the directing, the acting, the horror aspects, the science
fiction, questions,
and visual aspects alone that make up the film work. So even on a basic film level, yeah. I think it works. But then you have the more philosophical questions on top of that, and the scientific questions that aren't completely clear, and they just leave you thinking about the film. It's not a random film. Everything is, for the most part, seems to have a purpose, and it's just something that you kind of have to think about. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. Some of the best films, well, the best films are like that.
You know, now that I can't get that fucking glass of water out of my head. And what the fuck? Right, oh my God. Right. Why did you bring that? What was that? Was it a shimmer or was it cells like splitting? Like what? Oh my.
It's just, even if you forget it, like everything else with the film, it's in emotional ride.
Yeah.
Like it genuinely makes you feel,
because like there's thrills and horror
that
stuff
you may not want to feel. Right. Yeah. It's just a masterfully done film. And I'm really kinda pissed at Paramount for screwing this movie over.
I disagree.
And I'm pissed for people that aren't gonna see it.
I disagree. I think they saved what was it? I had a thought, and then it was like, what was it? Luke and the Last Jedi?
You still thinking about that
one?
No,
it was like Luke and the Last Jedi, for a fleeting moment, and then it passed like a shadow. There was a thought.
Left with nothing but shame.
Yeah.
You said that you felt they saved
this. No. Well, I think, hold on. Oh, yes. Okay. Here's what I thought. I think they saved the movie, I think especially overseas, because we saw it. Because, look, here's the reality. This movie is still going to be released in theaters this weekend, right? Okay, so let's just start with the basics. It's not the best timing that this movie, which is a great movie, and I'm thinking, I know for you easily, but I for me, it's like I actually liked Black Panther a considerably more, you know, distance than you did. But I will agree, I think Annihilation is better. I'm not sure you said that, but I just knew you knew that because you love this movie. So I'm just saying, I'm saying it for you.
You can put two and two together, I think. Anyone that's listening. But I don't, I'm also someone that doesn't think it's fair to compare them.
I mean, I agree, but you know, we love to dig at each other all the time. So that's what we do here on Red Spotlight. We got to shame each other every now and then.
Of course.
Well, not shame, but you know, we got to attack each other. Shame. What happened was,
we need to tear each other down to the most visceral level.
Yeah.
And then, you know, emotionally scar each other. That's what friends do.
Yeah. And that happens from time to time, but not frequently. But anyway, what happened was that... What was I going to say? See, it just... It's unfortunate that this movie is opening in the second week of Black Panther's box office run, which, I mean, was always going to be a daunting task. But, like, I myself have been blown away with how huge Black Panther was. Like, yeah, I was going to make, like, in the 160s, 170s, but, like, to make over 200 in 3 days, 240-something in, like, 4 days. And I even saw there was, like, these huge lines on a Tuesday night. Like, and this movie is making repeat business. Like, Black Panther is going to crush the competition for, like, the next, I want to say, 2 or 3 weeks. And it's going to, like, I think...
Maybe four.
Yeah, I think it's going to dwarf Annihilation entirely. And the thing, and that's here domestically. Internationally, that's the thing here. Is science fiction a huge draw overseas? I know China had this weird love affair with War for the Planet of the Apes. But, like,
that's different though.
I mean, Blade Runner didn't do that much better overseas than it did domestically, right? 2049?
No, I don't think it did better.
That's why it's like maybe in a way they kind of saved their, I mean, Paramount really saved their own asses in a lot of way because they would have lost so much money as a whole. But like when if they would have released it overseas, Black Panther would have destroyed them all over the world. Let's just face it, you know? So at that point, what does Paramount do but cut their losses? I mean, you can disagree with them because of the quality of the film, because it's unfair to Alex Garland. But from a business standpoint, like, money talks. And if it's going to reduce risk and if it's going to, like, you know, do that, then because, I mean, it's going to get blown away hard here, like really hard.
Oh, yeah. I went opening night. There was like 5 other people there. With Black Panther, it was filled and sweaty.
And
full of nerds.
I mean...
All of us being them as well.
Yeah, and I mean, I am going to see Black Panther again this weekend, so I think that's kind of indicative of, like, you know, where things are going. But I think... I mean, I'm supposed to see it this weekend with our friends Nettie, Eric, and Julia.
But don't you want to expand their mind?
Hey, I for one know for a fact that Eric and Nettie especially would love Annihilation so much more than Black Panther. However, they're adamant on seeing Black Panther.
Okay.
So,
okay.
You know, they told me they're not the people that like to be like pressured into seeing anything. So like, the more that you talk up a movie, the less likely they are to see it. That's how they are.
You were like that too, but then, you know.
You get over it. Am I really? I think some of the stuff is just plain old bitterness.
Well, I broke you eventually for a few of those things. Some of that bitterness is still there, though.
Hey, I saw this movie, but I saw it because I was genuinely interested in the response it was getting. The trailer did. Trailer didn't really wow me. I was kind of like, I was weird, but like it didn't really get my attention.
I think the trailer kind of missells the film.
Yeah, yeah. It was so weird because I was taking an Uber back home as soon as I finished the movie, and the radio was on. There was like a radio ad for Annihilation, and it was like they made it sound like this big, like epic blockbuster, like this. And I'm like,
yeah.
What? it's not the movie I saw, which I mean, I get because like, I think a blockbuster sells and a movie like what ended up being Annihilation does not. That's just the reality of it. Although, can I be honest? While I do think this movie mm-hmm. is like so intricately made and like fascinating on so many levels, I was expecting a much trippier ride, you know? Because people were like, say this was really? Bonkers and bonkers. Like I was expecting like wall-to-wall madness and like things to not make sense and everything. So I was like really like, you know.
Oh, I think it's definitely more mainstream than maybe some people.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. That's what I thought, because a lot of the movie I mm-hmm. think is more accessible perhaps to a general audience, especially the horror elements, the yeah. mystery elements. Perhaps yeah. the big questions are not what the general audience wants in their movies, but like most of the movie I think they'll be entertained with. Like I was saying, look, well, this is how I judge it by. Like my mom is not, I mean, she loves movies, but she has like, it has to be a romance or a mystery or a crime, bloodfest, or like, you know how our parents are like engineered to like certain kind of movies and like they don't like anything else. That's just how mine are. And I'm thinking like she does yeah. not like overly cerebral analytical movies that end with mysteries. You know, she wants the complete, she mm-hmm. wants it like told to her.
Questions are need to be yes. answered
yeah.
within the right. film, clearly.
And she would yeah. have liked the movie in total, but she would have been bothered by the
ending. Probably would have been
yeah,
like,
yeah. But she would have enjoyed most of the ride, which I think is, you know, I think most of the movie is pretty mainstream, if I got to be honest.
But I do think people don't like when they're light.
Yeah, like Mother.
Yeah, Mother is another film that I really enjoyed, but it's like yeah, the editing of the trailers and all of that pretty much lied to you. And I thought it was weird. If this film had sold itself as like a horror film, I don't think it really would have been like marketing lies. But it sold itself as more of like an action sci-fi film, which it wasn't. So, because there was a kid in my theater and I was like, what the hell are you doing here?
There's like people boning.
Yeah, well, it's not explicit, but it's there.
It's there. It's there's some rated R.
Terrifying thing. It's very much rated R. Very, very much. Like, I think if they had just sold it as a horror film, most people would be with it up until that third act. Then they'd be like, okay, what the fuck? And could you actively feel your theater being like, what? Because I could feel mine being like that.
I mean, yes.
I kind of love it.
In a good way, though. I didn't sense any animosity yeah. or hatred. I was...
No, I didn't either.
But I was, like, sensing a lot of, like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah.
But again, it's not, like, even, and again, spoilers, when this sort of humanoid, alien-like thing forms and it starts to mimic Natalie Portman... If you follow along with the film, you can pretty much guess, like, okay, you know, it's mimicking her and it's trying to become her.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I thought too.
I still think just on a base film level, you can enjoy it, I think. But I do think the visuals are incredibly, like, those are... every bit as trippy, I think, as people describe them as.
Yeah, but it's not...
When the film...
Go ahead, Peter.
First, when the film started, I was like, this is very, like, oh, she misses her husband, sad, da 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 da. But as it started going, it's like, oh, you know? Layers start to peel back, and, you know, it gets trippier and trippier as they get closer to the White House. Lighthouse, I mean.
Or the same thing.
But you, same thing.
There's a wall around.
Both enigmas to the mind.
What if
we need that kind
the
of
crazy
wall.
Thing? The whole thing was a commentary on the Trump White House secretly.
Oh my god! Does the water make sense now? No, but I do think it is accessible. I think you're right. Like, someone off the street can watch it and follow along for at least like 70% or 80% of the important things to the story. You can understand.
I gotta tell you, I've seen other movies in theaters this year that I don't think are as accessible. Because, I mean, as much as a wonderfully great movie it is, I think there are certain things about The Shape of Water that'll turn people off, like, real quick. Or, like, really, really weirded out.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Phantom Thread, which I, on the record, don't hate. I actually thought it was a good movie. Mm-hmm. I fell asleep, but it was a good... It was. Don't see movies like Phantom Thread at 10 o'clock at night. I'm just not going to, especially with the dreamlike score that it had. Oh my god, that's a story in and of itself. Whenever Peter sees Phantom Thread, I want to review it with him because I just want to talk about that movie. But I mean, with Phantom Thread, I think that's also. It's just like most of the public is not going to care what happens in a movie like that. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's like.
Yeah. There are some films I watch and I'm like, if most people saw this, they'd be like, this is boring and dumb. Why did I watch this?
Yeah.
I don't think this is
one. No, I don't.
It is constantly entertaining. People might be entertained for different reasons.
Yeah.
But I definitely think it's never not entertaining. And also, again, the characters, I think, are also accessible. You know, they're not completely fleshed out, but I do find them likable. And you understand them. And, yeah, I don't know. It's just, I'll be honest, we're pretty early into 2018. But I think I feel like for sure this is going on my top 10 list of 2018.
Well, it's just because it's so different and unique, right? And it's also a unique theater experience with the visuals and the audio and the story itself and the what the fuck trippiness that's going on. Like, it's kind of hard. Any other movie that you'll see next year doesn't mean that there's not going to be a better movie, but like one that's so much like this one, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's why I feel like it's already got a guaranteed spot, because it's the most unique film experience, I think. Like, I've never really experienced a film such as this in a film
before. Yeah, I think people are going to...
And I think that alone is worth it.
And I think people are going to be talking about this movie by the end of the year. This is one you remember. And it's gonna get.
I hope so.
I think
it's gonna get slaughtered.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you were to put a number on it right now, what this is gonna do opening weekend?
Oh my god! Well, with the $9 I gave, and the like $12 you gave.
15.
15. Okay.
Yeah, I live in La Jolla.
$30+. I don't know. I'm hoping like 20 million. And that's like a big hope right there.
Did you see Black Panther just passed 500 million worldwide?
Worldwide? How does Disney already pass a billion?
Did you
in 2018?
Because of The Last Jedi, the leftovers of Last Jedi.
Oh, okay. We're barely in the second month, but okay.
Isn't that great?
Sure. How wonderful. This beautiful piece of art will get shat on at the movie theaters, but
Disney has already made $1 billion at the box office, and it's February. Wow. Awesome. Wow. I mean,
I guess one good thing, I don't even know I would consider this a good thing, is that in the United States anyway, this film will come out fairly soon to Netflix, I feel.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I keep forgetting to bring that up. We're going to... Okay, give me a second. Before we move on to the Netflix discussion of it, I have the tracking numbers for Annihilation provided to us by the lovely Hollywood Reporter. Right now, it is tracking to open... Oh my God, in third place. Third place because New Line Cinema's Game Night with Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams right now is...
And that's also getting good reviews.
Yes, and it's also opening this week. It's looking to open within the $12 million, $14 million range. Annihilation is looking to track anywhere between $10 to $12 million.
Well... Great.
$10 to $12 million.
But no, by all means, go give all your money to Black Panther, because that's okay. See, this is why we can't have nice things.
I just hope it doesn't bomb, though. I mean, if the projections are this low, it's kind of hard to see it bombing in general. I mean, what was the budget for a movie like this?
I feel like 50 at least. Let me see. I am looking up
information on our phones because it is, yeah. I'm looking. Oh, yeah, you're right. I think it's 40 million. I think it says 40 million here.
It doesn't say.
It says your budget, just like, there's one that says gross and one that says net. So like gross budget and net budget.
Let's say 55.
Yeah, 55. Is it going to make that back?
I doubt it'll even reach 55 here in the United States. If its opening weekend is fucking like 12 million. If they're lucky. Oh my God. See, this is the thing though. Hollywood takes a chance. They actually put money into it and they make these great films. And then they get shit
like
on.
Like Blade Runner.
Money, like Blade Runner. This is another thing right here too with Annihilation. And then people wonder, we see this all the time, and then people wonder why we don't have, you know, more great original films. This is
we've been
why.
Talking about this for years now. It's like people complain, Hollywood is broken. We need more original movies. And I'm like, every single time.
Then go watch them.
Every single time they come out, you don't watch them. You don't watch, we can go back years now. You don't watch Blade Runner 2049. You don't watch Annihilation. You don't watch The Nice Guys, which is a comedy, which is even more accessible than those other two movies. The Nice Guys. Shane Black's great The Nice Guys. You don't watch that?
I mean, you'll go and watch The Last Jedi two or three times just to bitch about it and bitch about movies. But then when you have a genuinely great sci-fi film, you're like...
But Peter, we saw Netflix's Bright. Wasn't that a sci-fi movie?
Well, I saw it. You didn't have to sit through that. I did. I suffered. You didn't. Well, hey, technically Annihilation is a Netflix original film. Not here, but in outside of the United States, and it's a good film.
So I mean, maybe that'll get more people to watch it around the world if it's easily accessible on Netflix. The only thing, again, the drawback is this is a movie meant for the big screen. And it's also...
I think it's a wonderful film.
It sparks conversation about how Alex Garland must be feeling, because I'm sure when he signed on for this movie, there was no mention of the possibility. Oh, by the way, if we feel like it, we're going to give it to Netflix.
Not only that, they wanted to change the ending, and he said, no.
What do they want?
And I think he won out.
What did they want to change it to?
I have no idea. I think because they had done some like test screenings that didn't go so well. So they're like, let's change the ending to this. Whatever that was. They didn't do it, but I think in order to be like, okay, we won't change the ending, but we're not going to release it in theaters except in the US and Canada and wherever,
I mean,
and everywhere else.
As we know, we should know, Paramount has been doing this lately with Cloverfield, another movie that was supposed to come out in the theaters, but went to the Netflix.
To be fair, though, this is a great film.
Yes.
That.
It's not that. Wow. It's not that. But it's like, Paramount, it has fallen on hard times. It's no secret. I mean, when they're rebooting the Transformers, that's when you know how bad it is.
That's the only thing that makes them money.
And it's not making the money anymore. That's why they're rebooting it. And everything. I will say, though, I mean, to touch upon earlier, we were saying about, you know, people not watching original films. You saw the report that came out earlier this week that a lot of the Best Picture nominees at the Academy are among the lowest grossing. It's like the lowest grossing class of Best Picture group in years. It's hardly anyone, which, I mean, a lot of those movies count as original movies, right? You know, Get Out, which, by the way, made a lot of money. And Dunkirk made money. I mean, but there's also, like, you know, Shape of Water and movies. Three Billboards and Call Me By Your Name and The Post and Darkest Hour, Phantom Thread, Lady Bird. And The Big Sick also, which, I mean, I love that movie. We need to review it one of these days. But just, like, all those movies are worth people's attention. And honestly, I would have paid to have seen all of those in movies in the theater.
Oh, hell yeah. Except Dunkirk once was
enough. Oh, my God.
I saw that and I was just like, that's so depressing. That's so sad.
Yeah, but I mean, is it really a surprise? People just don't like watching those kind of movies. Well, I mean, look, there's a combination. In general, a lot of those movies aren't as accessible because they're not released in as many theaters as the big tent poles are, which, I mean, that does affect it. Another thing is, though, most people just haven't heard of these movies until, like, just now. That's the reality, is like when you have that these movies come out so late in the year and they come out in so few areas, people are not going to go out of their way to watch them. That's just the reality. I feel like that these movies need to be made more widespread so many more people can watch them. And that's kind of one of the big reasons why we see the viewership of the Academy Awards drop like a rock every year, because most people haven't even heard of the movies nominated for Best Picture. Why would they watch an award show about movies they haven't even heard about, much less seen?
But I mean, the issue is, when you look back in past years, the top 10 grossing films of the year used to be a wide variety of films. You know, it'd be dramas, it'd be horror films, it'd be this, it'd be that. Now it's the same sequel franchises over and over. People have just given all their money to a very small select groups of films. And I think before, people were more willing to just take a risk on random films, because that's what movies were. It's just like, oh, there's a new weird looking movie out, let's see if it's good. But now it's like they have to be guaranteed.
Okay. Here it is. I'm going to give you the top 20 real quick, worldwide, just so we can expand our reach here. So from number 20 to number 1, you have War for the Planet of the Apes, The Boss Baby, Dunkirk, Kong Skull Island, Transformers 5, Logan, Justice League, It, Coco, Pirates 5, Wonder Woman, Thor Ragnarok, Guardians 2, Wolf Warrior 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, Despicable Me 3, The Fate of the Furious, Beauty and the Beast, and The Last Jedi.
Yeah, that kind of says it all.
I count. Well, that's hard. They're all sequels, honestly. Except Dunkirk and Boss Baby and It. Every single last one of those movies is a sequel. And I don't know if you count Beauty and the Beast, but that's... Well, Beauty and the Beast is Beauty and the Beast.
It's a remake.
Yeah.
Point is, go see Annihilation, please. Please, please,
I feel like
please.
Every time we do that, it ends up backfiring. Do it for you to say that?
Yes. Okay, do it for the betterment of humanity. And that we partake in better art when it comes to our films.
Okay, I'm done. Are you done?
Yeah, I'm
okay,
done.
Okay, great. Thank you guys for listening awesome. To this podcast. Go out and watch Annihilation. It's a great movie. I recommend it to everybody. Or you can watch Black Panther again. I wouldn't blame you because I'm going to go see it again this week. So, you know, do whatever you want on that.
What are those?
Yeah, yeah. Also, catch our previous episode, going to be released the same weekend, episode number 96, where I give my review on the Black Panther movie and other stuff that happened with me and Kyle. We're going to have a new Once Upon a Retrospect coming out this week with Peter Pan is the movie with Alexis Moreno and Kyle and myself. And I will remind you again that we are gearing up for the 100th episode of Red Spotlight Entertainment coming up in the next few weeks. With, as of yet, unannounced special guest stars and returning faces. It's not Tony, so get that out of your mind. Or Josh. Also...
Those two are my favorite.
more importantly, please make sure to catch the return of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on the 2nd of March. Which is going to be fantastic, featuring Dove Cameron. And the week after, you can catch the 100th episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. In fact, I think the 100th episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. may coincide with the 100th episode of Red Spotlight, which is, I think, pretty amazing. I don't know about you.
Both are 100 episodes of trash.
I mean, you're involved in trash, so I mean, I wouldn't be calling it trash.
Yes. Hey.
What?
Don't be rude.
Okay. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. As always, you can leave a comment. Let us know what you like to hear. As Kyle says, you can look at our bright and shining faces on the Red Spotlight YouTube channel, like our After Dark series, which will be going live, to reiterate, will be going live exclusively from now on. It cannot be revoked. As Kyle says, the After Dark series, and our audio commentaries and more podcasts. Anything else to say, Peter?
I'm good. Yeah.
Okay, guys. Good night. And goodbye. And here is the singing frog and the girl.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side?
Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. And rainbows have nothing to hide.
So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. But I know they're wrong, wait and see.
Yeah. Someday we'll find it, yeah. The rainbow connection. Lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Wow, I wish I could sing like you.
Who said that every wish would be heard and answered? Who wished on the morning star?
Well, you know, somebody just thought of that, and someone believed it. And look what it's done so far. Yeah.
you know.
What's so amazing that keeps us stargazing? What do we think we might see?
Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. All of us under its spell, we know that it's probably magic.
Yeah. Have you been half asleep, and have you heard voices?
I've heard them calling my name. Mm-hmm.
Is this the sweet sound that calls the young sailor?
The voice might be one and the same.
I've heard it too many times to ignore it. It's something that I'm supposed to be.